In the name of one God for whom we wait. Amen. Do you know what the best part is of getting to preach Advent 1? Anyone? Happy New Year! Woo! I was like saying it, and everybody's like, what? No, that's not, we aren't doing that yet. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I love preaching Advent because I get to say those very words as we start a new year in our church. For those of us who are liturgical wonks, we talk about going into year B, the year of Mark. But truly, none of that matters because Advent, regardless of the gospel or anything else that may be going on, Advent is our time to turn our focus, I guess I should say, towards Bethlehem. As we await the birth of the Christ child, Advent is this time that we set aside to prepare our hearts and our homes for the love of Jesus to be born anew. Advent is probably my favorite liturgical season, but one of my favorite Advent traditions is the lighting of the wreath, both in church and in my home. I love that each week a little more light comes into our world just at the same time as our days get shorter and the darkness grows even longer. It's why our collect, that prayer at the beginning of the service that collects our intentions for the day, that collect is a favorite of mine. Give us grace. Grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life. Put on the armor of light. What does that mean, especially within the context of these readings from Isaiah and Mark, talking about God coming with judgment and great power and glory, and how we better be ready, which is an ongoing theme we will hear throughout this year. Be ready. Putting on the armor of light is a way that we prepare in this Advent season. It is a way of being ready for the return of Jesus, ready for his love to break into our lives at his birth on Christmas, ready for his coming again to bear witness to the living and the dead. And yet, when we pick up a newspaper or maybe attend a city council meeting, or turn on the evening news, scroll through our social media, there seems to be a lack of light out there. In fact, it is darkness. So much darkness. War in Israel and Palestine. Inexcusable kidnappings by Hamas. War in many, many other parts of the world. We have climate change. Water and food scarcity, the opioid crisis, mass shootings, you know the list, and it can go on. And sometimes that list makes it hard to find the light. It is easy to turn to hopelessness and darkness. It is easy to let the darkness described by Jesus in the gospel today, complete with great suffering, no sun, no moon, no stars, deep darkness, to creep into our lives and to take up residence. And when it does, we call that despair. Darkness and despair have been on my mind as we enter into this holiday season, a time that is not so jolly and merry for many. It's the time when I get the most call-outs to assist the police department with difficult moments. It's the time when the clergy get more calls from parishioners and friends who are suffering from despair. We are all aware that the trauma of COVID has not actually left our mental states. It is still there, but we've swept it under the metaphorical carpet. And we've done our best to return to life as usual, and yet the darkness is still there lurking. And as I was having these thoughts about despair and its pervasiveness, I was given a beautiful response in a book called Have You Seen Luis Velez by Catherine Ryan Hyde. I won't give away the story, but at one point, the character Raymond, a high school teenager in New York City, is on a quest to vanquish despair for a beloved friend. He goes to his dad and asks his dad, "What do you do?" He goes to another woman he had befriended and asked her, "What do you do to fight despair?" And neither of them had great answers. Then he goes, happens to be in the school library, score one for librarians. And he asks his school librarian, "What would you do to help a friend who has fallen into total despair about the world?" And this librarian replies, "This friend, does the despair have to do about the world being a place where people do terrible things?" "Yes," he replied. She went on, "Then you have to do wonderful things." "Me?" Raymond asks. "Why? Me? What can I do?" And she says, "Somebody has to do wonderful things, and you are the one asking the question." Raymond doesn't believe that he has anything that he can do to make a difference, and so the librarian goes on. "The world will still be a place where people do terrible things. But here is the thing about despair. We fall into despair when the terrible gangs up on us and we forget the world can also be wonderful. We just see the terrible everywhere we look. So what you do for your friend is you bring up the wonderful so that they are side by side. The world is terrible and wonderful at the same time. One doesn't negate the other, but the wonderful keeps us in the game. The wonderful moves us forward." And so the lights on the Advent wreath, especially when darkness is literally and figuratively so present, these points of light remind us to put on our armor of light, to put on our armor of sharing that which is wonderful in our world. Each flame vanquishes darkness. Each flame reminds us of hope and joy and faith and love. Each flame reminds us that we are loved, and in return, we are to share that love. As Christians, we are actually bound in our faith to be accountable to one another, and not just to one another. We're actually accountable to all of creation to bring the wonderful to light when we fall too far into despair. Now, we each do wonderful in our own way, as we each have our own gifts, our own talents, might I say. When we share the wonderful, when we share God's love, then we are following God's call to us. Then we recall for one another God's love and mercy and grace at work in the world. And we remember that God's love and grace and mercy win in the end. When the night seems dark, it is up to us to be the flicker of light. Now, if you've been counting, I haven't been in the pulpit for 2 months, so you're going to have to indulge me for a moment here. And at St. Cross, you all know how to share wonderful. You know how to do it as individuals, and you know how to do it as a community. And you want to know how I know? Well, we had this little shindig here on October 28th. It was a pretty good example. And I'll let you in on a secret. I had actually put forward the idea to Chad that we take our immediate family up to the Chapel of the Transfiguration, the most beautiful chapel in the world, that's in the middle of Teton National Park, and quietly get married there. And my beloved, my sweetie, my husband said to me, No, Rachel, no. We need to share that joy and that love with the people of St. Cross. We need to share that joy and that love with our family and friends gathered. That is important. He was right. Don't get used to that. And wow, St. Cross. Wow. I'm so proud of you all. Did you all ever witness God's love to the wider world? It was not Chad and I that made that day so filled with love and joy and all things wonderful. It was you. It was Sean and James and the choir and our favorite two trumpet players. It was the acolytes and the readers. It was two friends of ours who happened to be bishop and a priest who shared his gift of preaching. It was the kitchen crew, the altar guild, the parking lot helpers, the ushers, and every single one of you who showed up and radiated love, so much love that day. You, St. Cross, did that. And I'm here to tell you that person after person, colleagues who have been in some of the most glorious ceremonies and liturgies of our church, family members, young, old, my friends who go to church, my friends who don't go to church, every one of them has come up to me and repeatedly said the same thing. I've just never been in a room that had that much love in it. It was powerful. You shared your wonderful with all of those who gathered on that day. And that, St. Cross, is what sharing our wonderful looks like inside of our building. And Advent challenges us to take that same love through our very gifts out into the world and share with someone, anyone who may be in despair and needs that little flicker of wonderful to remind them in their lives. Having been a recipient of your gifts many times over, I encourage you, do not hide your gifts. Don't shy away and think that you are insignificant, for you have something wonderful to share. And you should share that as God's love every chance you get. So as you light the candle on your Advent wreath at night, and you read your little table tents that you were given for the Advent activity, think about your spiritual gifts. Think about the blessings that you have been given, and then put on your armor of light and offer your wonderful to God's wider creation. We all need a bit of wonderful. The world needs your wonderful, and here at St. Cross, we have so very much wonderful to share. Amen.